What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. This week, we have 50 Egg Music writer Rob Pennington in the hot seat. We talk about his golf game, his relationship with Cole Swindell, his time at Georgia Southern, and his new single, Mess That Makeup. Don't go anywhere. Rob Pennington is on the RCM Podcast, coming at you. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast, RCM Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Kyle Corvus, and today I'm excited. I've had this one on the calendar for a long time, so I'm excited because today I'm sitting down with the man, Rob Pennington, and we're going to have a good time. Rob, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, Kyle? Thanks for having me, my man. It's good to be on the podcast with you this morning.
There we go. And he says this morning because it is, you know, here it's 10. By Rob, it's 9. Not Rob. I gotta say, man, if someone said, "Hey, you want to record a podcast at 9, I'd be like, and you know, the radio in me knows how to get up early and get up. But talking the second I get up, you gotta warm up the voice. You gotta, you know, you can't sing in the morning. There's no way.
Oh, I can't sing, period. So, but I can talk to a wall in the morning, man. I'm more of an early bird than a night owl. I like to get up and have my coffee, and I feel like I'm more productive in the morning. So you got me at the good time. I can be Chatty Cathy for you.
Hey, I love it. I don't know. I got a thing about the morning. Cause like if I get up in the morning and I get all this stuff done, you know, it's fantastic, but it never plans out that way. I always say like, I'm going to set my alarm. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to do everything I have to do. And then I'm going to, you know, be done early in the day and I'm going to be able to go to sleep early. Never happens. I'm not in bed before 2 o'clock. I'm not asleep before 2 o'clock every single night. It's terrible.
Yeah, Lord. Yeah. Well, I'm quite the opposite. I'm more of I eat my couple of Oreos and milk and I'm usually in bed by nine. That's what happens when you turn 30, bud. Don't grow up.
Hey, honestly, hopefully I get to that point. Cause you know, I can't keep doing this 2 a.m. thing. I don't know if it's really working out for me. So, you know, I gotta change something. But you're a big golfer, right?
Love it, love it.
Yeah.
Man.
So I noticed that you're a big golfer. Did you watch the Masters?
Oh yeah, dude.
When you play golf, okay, because I'm not. I play golf, right? Like I do. I'll play golf, but I'm awful. I am horrendous, absolutely horrendous. And maybe that's because I've never gotten lessons, or I don't really. Like I have a friend who's pretty good and he's always trying to tell me how I could be better. And I just don't think I listen, honestly. And I just like to go out with the guys and, you know, play around, and that's really it. That's all I like to do.
Uh-huh.
But why did you, cause how often do you actually play? I feel like that could help if I played more.
I try to play 1 to 2 times a week.
Okay.
But don't let me fool you, man. I'm not a professional or a scratch golf brain, because I'll get out there and hack it with the best of them. In fact, I'm like, I'm just your typical, just kind of just Joe Blow that gets out. I love it because it helps me kind of escape from my, I don't want to say I'm heady by anything, but it's like you're competing against yourself. Cause I'll go out there and play by myself 9 times out of 10. Every now and then I'll get to go play with, you know, other riders, or heck, even friends in Nashville, and you know, it's fun to kind of compete with them and kind of have your little play, your little dot games or money. But
are you really competitive?
I'm a competitive person, but it's kind of cool if I'm playing like a wolf game, or if I'm like on a scramble team or anything, because usually I'm losing the wolf games when I'm by myself if I'm playing better people. But like scrambling teams, like especially, you know, if we're playing with somebody that's on your team that's good, then
yeah,
you know, you get to be relaxed. But yeah, I'm a competitive person, but like I something about golf, my grandma, she was really good at it, and I think it kind of got handed down to me. My granddad still lives on a golf course in Georgia, and cool. Every Christmas I mean that's kind of been tradition, because it's still somewhat warm in Georgia, so we play golf on Christmas. But man, I've enjoyed golf because like I said, it's kind of my escape. And I just want to reiterate, don't let me fool you. I'm not good by any means, because I'll go out there with some of these songwriters that they're daggum, they can play. They could probably play on the darn Corn Ferry Tour if they wanted to. And I'm just, man, I'm I think it's more about the fellowship for me, especially when I'm playing with people, when I'm not playing by myself, man. I'm pretty good at drinking beer and, you know, just kind of just establish some rapport. You know, it's been kind of a good, especially over the years, because I kind of use it as kind of a good networking tool. And, you know, you kind of trick people's head and kind of just think, well, kind of see what they're thinking about life and whatever, maybe music. Sometimes we don't even talk about music, which is the kind of cool thing. Or, you know, it's just a good sport to kind of just get to know people and BS with them.
And even if you suck, I feel like it's a good time to get out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you said, I'm pretty good at drinking beer. You know, I'm okay with
absolutely
taking
the best key I can tell anybody that's playing golf, whether they're new or old, is the pace of play. Who cares if you're daggum shaking it to the right and left and can't do nothing? If you can get the pace of play with the rest of the group, then you'll get invited every single time. I promise.
There you go.
I promise.
do you lose a lot of balls when you play? Because I do. I go in with, honestly, this is not an exaggeration. I have to go in with at least 10 to 15 balls, assuming that I'm going to lose half of them.
Yeah. Well, not as much as I used to. Like in college, I used to lose a lot, but that's all kind of according where the course I'm playing, man. There's some tough courses up here in Nashville, but the course that I lose the most balls at, it doesn't matter. I could go to Florida, I could go to Texas and play. But back home in Statesboro, the Georgia Southern University golf course, it doesn't matter. I could be playing lights out and I'll still lose. I'll still find a way to lose eight balls. It's the toughest course in America, I think, to me.
Oh, I think the networking thing is a big thing for golf. And I'm with you on that one. I've played some golf for networking purposes. But I have to tell you, I'm incredibly competitive with myself.
Yeah.
More than I am. I mean, I am with other people, of course, but with myself. I remember one time I was on the fairway, and you know, I had a good, it was a good distance. I don't remember exactly how far it was. And I was having a pretty rough day. All right. This is still the front nine. I was having a pretty rough day. And I go to hit this ball on the fairway, and I absolutely shanked the shit out of it, and I in my backswing just let my club go and walked away. I just walked away, and I hear, "No throwing your clubs on the fairway." And I looked at her, and I bit my tongue, but I was so mad. It was just for fun, but I was so mad because I was like, this is not fun anymore. Golf is not fun. I am not having a good time. And safe to say that didn't work out, but
for sure. Now I've been there before. I've thrown a club or two, but I think I've matured a little bit. Hopefully so.
Maybe I gotta mature a little more. You know, what's funny is I went to the driving range. I think this was probably last summer, and went with my dad and my sister, and my dad grew up playing baseball. Golf was just more of a thing. He's not very good at all. For some reason, he's got a very baseball-like golf swing. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So he gets up there, and his clubs were on the other side. He got them when he probably had them for at least 10 years, probably more, maybe 15. And he didn't even use them that much, but he was swinging his driver. And all of a sudden I look, and he's just standing there staring out. And I look, and the driver head is going farther than the ball in the air. He hit the driver on the mat and it broke the head off and it just went flying. And I was like, how did you do that? He's like, I don't even know. I was like, you probably just hit the ground too hard. And then we just moved on. And then my sister, so I'm a lefty, so I have my own clubs because my sister had my brother's clubs, and she hands my brother's driver to my dad, and he's swinging it, and all of a sudden that head goes flying. He broke two driver heads in about 5 minutes.
Good gosh. And hitting the weight room, son.
I was like, oh my, I don't even know if I've ever seen a driver even break before. And I definitely haven't seen twice in less than 5 minutes, but it was interesting.
Those driver heads get expensive.
yeah, they do really get expensive. And that's the other thing. Golf is one expensive hobby. That is one very expensive hobby.
I may have to cut back, but I also walk, so I don't get the cart as much. Okay. So that save you a buck. So
keep the calf muscles nice and
You're looking like Phil Mickelson out here, you know.
You're gonna have to start getting what does Ariat sell? They sell the boots with the zippers so that you can have a bigger shaft in your boot.
Yeah.
you're gonna have to get those. You won't fit anymore.
For sure.
So Rob, you are like you said, you're a Georgia guy. You went to Georgia Southern, and which, by the way, I've met a couple of people who are either have gone to Georgia Southern and left Georgia Southern, finished at Georgia Southern, or were just Georgia Southern fans in general. And I think it's cool because I'm a college football guy, so you know Georgia Southern, you know they have a good football team, but it's kind of crazy. I didn't know this, and I read this and I found it very interesting. I'm sure people probably ask you about this all the time, so I'm not going to dwell on this conversation, but you went to college with Cole Swindell, correct?
Well, he's old. He's a little bit older than me. We went to the same school. So yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we're both Sumacais. I guess long story short. So I'm a college town kid. I grew up in Statesboro, the college town. And so I was kind of surrounded by Georgia Southern, the greatest college in America. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'll go down swinging to anybody, any OU fan, any Miami fan, any Notre Dame fan, Georgia Southern.
I love it.
I was just kidding. But I do love Georgia Southern. It's kind of in my blood. I grew up in the community. But so when I was pledging, how I met Cole, I think he had left maybe a year or two before. Anyway, so when I was pledging, which is, I'm not going to say the year, that'll show you how old I am, you know. But anyway, when I was pledging, he was doing merch for Luke Bryan, also Simicat at Georgia Southern.
Cool.
And this was the first year of the farm tour, which they still do. I think they do it more in the Midwestern states these mm-hmm. days. Mm-hmm. But back then, they were hitting around Georgia Southern, they did Valdosta State. I think they did Gainesville. I think they did a couple, and Columbia was always stopping South Carolina. They did a little town outside of Knoxville, but it was kind of like the Southeastern ACC schools type thing, and even division like Valdosta State and Tifton and stuff like that. But anyways, it was the very first farm tour, and it was I guess it was his second seed. Whenever rain was a good thing to come out. Anyway, Cole was doing merch for Luke. Well, since I was one of the driver pledges, they asked me if I wanted to drive like the crew or whatever back and forth between, because Statesboro was like the only town that had hotels, and where the place was, Claxton, it was 30 minutes out in the middle of nowhere. So anyway, Sunday night, my fraternity, Sigma Chi, they had they called it a little sister party where they invited all these girls and just had a big party and kegs, whatever. Well, anyway, I had to go pick all those people up at this party. Well, Cole was there. So I met him through a mutual fraternity brother, Blaine Rhodes, who actually lives in Nashville now. He's a publisher. And, you know, that's kind of started I drove them back and forth and we exchanged numbers. And ever since, we've kind of just stayed friends ever since he'd come down. It's kind of like me now. Whenever I go down, there's some active guys down there. I don't want to call them fans or anything. I call them friends now, but they like my music or whatever. So I keep in touch with them.
Yeah.
So whenever I go down there, I always have a contact. Hey, you want to go to Dingus McGee's and drink a beer? And they're like, oh yeah, let's go. Anyway, I was that guy for him whenever he'd come down and visit Blaine, and he's got family down there as well that live kind of in the next county over in Tattnall. So if he were coming down there to visit them, he'd be like, hey, let's go to Dingus McGee's. I'd go meet up with him. And that was just how our friendship started.
Yeah. That's awesome. I don't know if that was a broken record question. I don't know if anyone's asked you that, or I'm sure people have, but I think that's cool. And I'm curious because, so you, like you said, Luke Bryan also went to Georgia Southern. Were is that cause I've never been down there. You know, I've been in the Knoxville area. I've been in Nashville, and I know that, you know, there is a country music scene in Knoxville. Is that the same for Georgia Southern? Would Luke Bryan play around Georgia Southern? Would you
Oh yeah, that well, that, he used to actually be in a band so long ago. There was used to he was in a band called Naomi Road back in the day, and it was spelled, I think it was like N-E-Y-A-M-I. You have to fact check me on it, but it was spelled weird. But it was Naomi Road, and they used to play. Obviously, the bar scene has kind of changed down there because all college town bar scenes seem to kind of change. But I mean, when I was kind of in, I never saw Luke play down there. Actually, I take that back. He did a little acoustic thing. There was this bar called Rum Runners. He did that when I was in school. But like the guys that kind of came through there, and this is more so, I guess, when I was in high school, don't tell my mom, but we would sneak out and like Brantley Gilbert before he was big, like back when the OG Dirt Road Anthem, Zach Brown before Chicken Fried was Chicken Fried. I mean, people from Georgia know that Chicken Fried, there it was on a mixtape 7 years like before it even came out. Even Eric Church came through there before he was big at a bar called Legends. So, yeah. I mean, country music is, I mean, it's big down in Statesboro, but I think it's just the whole Georgia community. I think it's the appreciation for music in general, man. It's like, yeah, don't get me wrong, they love country music down there, but heck, man, Southern rock, rap in Atlanta. I mean, it's, I think just the appreciation for music in itself is kind of kudos to the state of Georgia. Cause I mean, if you listen to my music, you can like, man, that Joker's got some pop rock and that thing got some Black Crows or something. Then like the next thing's like, dang, that kind of sounds like Outkast or something. Yeah. You know, so it's a good blend down there for sure.
I never realized how big like the rap community was in Atlanta. Like it's only after multiple of things like this that I realized how big it was. I had no clue. I think it's so cool.
It's nuts, it's so dude. Awesome. And we would come at like shoot Roscoe Dash and like Travis Porter and all that. We'd get them in college and shoot Ludacris came and played Georgia Southern one time. I mean, it's nuts just having them right there in your backyard, you know.
Dude, that's so cool because like that's like, you know, me growing up here, that was a big, you know, like rap is a big thing and you know, R&B and things of that nature. But I think it's crazy because for you, you're saying like, you know, you go to school and there's people playing country music out. You know, I go to school and where I went to school, no one's out there playing country music. You know, yeah. there was a country themed bar, quote mm-hmm. unquote, that was, you know, a good time. And there was always country music playing, but it was never live country music. Anyone who went to play there live never actually played country music, which always pissed me off. And you best believe I was the one to walk in downtown Hartford with cowboy boots on. And I got compliments for it. I'm just saying it was a pretty bit. I absolutely smoked these two guys in pool. And then afterwards they looked at me and said, nice boots. And I was like, hell yeah.
Then the next thing you got to work on is kind of a Southern drawl. Then you'll be getting all the ladies up yeah. there, man. Hey man, hey Miss Lady.
You know, I just gotta be able to fool them. You know what they say? Fake it till you make it. That's all.
Hey, that's right. Hey, I'm a firm believer in that, buddy.
Without a doubt. So let me ask you: when it came to you deciding that you wanted to, you know, kind of go and do music. Obviously, you were in school and you had a degree path. But what was your decision? Because you know, obviously, you know. You were friendly with Cole, I guess, to an extent at that point, and he was trying to do his thing, and you were obviously around the music to an extent. But what made you decide, like, hey, maybe I'll just, you know, give this a shot and see what happens? Obviously, it worked out, so thank God you did it. But maybe,
Well, encouragement from Cole, and especially, you know, one of my champions in town is Ray Fulcher as well, and. And then another guy who actually works with Cole, his name's Dustin Eichton, you know, and you can hear that. I'm sure it's been said on your podcast millions of times. And I'll say this till the day I die. If you ever want to be associated or like even just have a chance or opportunity of getting within the music scene or the music industry, country music scene, or country music, you've got to move to Nashville. But there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Every now and then you'll get, you know, some internet heartthrob, which, you know, kudos to them that they live somewhere else, but eventually they end up moving to Nashville, you know, so you've got to be here. Yeah. But man, I was on the 5-year plan in Georgia Southern, and, you know, I didn't think of anything of it. And, you know, Ray was just, man, you got to move to Nashville. Just give it a shot. Cause, you know, I was a hometown kid. Went to high school, went to college, basically could go eat, you know, dinner for free at my parents' house. I mean, I had the life, man, you know. And so anyway, I graduated. I actually didn't even think about moving to Nashville first. I took a job in Savannah down in Georgia. I was doing like operations for a rental, a construction equipment rental company, Neff Rental. And I worked down there, and man, I hated it. It was horrible, man. And I think that's where I got my, I guess, habit of waking up early. Cause we had to be up with the birds with all these construction people, you know, and I was kind of going back and forth. And then I actually moved to Savannah, and I was dating this chick, but she was still in school at Georgia Southern. So it was as if I was still in school, cause I was going back to Statesboro every weekend.
Sixth year.
And they're just like, who's this old guy that's graduated come back? They're probably saying that now, you know, when I come back to see my family, like, why does this guy keep on coming back? I'm like, my mom and dad live here. Just chill out. I'm just having a beer at Dingus. Anyways. So, man, I think I kind of just got fed up, and you know, that relationship kind of wasn't really going anywhere, and I didn't have anything else to do. Well, sure enough, another fraternity brother was working with a company in Nashville, and I saw him at a football game, and he's like, man, you still doing music? And I was just like, man, I'd love to try to get back into it. And he was from Augusta, knew who Ray Fulcher was, blah, blah, blah. So we kind of put everything together. He's like, I think there's an opening. Maybe it can just get you into town and see where you go. Sure enough, he went back to Nashville. I get a call the next week. He's like, hey, and was with the same company. And he's just, why don't you transfer up here and just move up here and then see where it goes. Sure enough, next thing you know, I moved December 2nd of 2014. Yeah, December 2nd of 2014. And worked through Christmas. That was my first Christmas, like, not being around my family. I went and watched the Hunger Games on Christmas Day. It was pretty cool, you know. And yeah, and then so I did that, and luckily surrounded myself with good people. Ray Fulcher, James McNair, Luke Combs. I mean, because we all kind of moved around the same time. And right. Luckily, I mean, thank goodness for them that, you know, they would write with me in the afternoons. Because I think the struggle with, you know, each individual songwriter, if they wanted music, or anybody in general, with their struggle, they have a different struggle. Some of us, most of the time, it's probably financially or whatever, you know, trying to make ends meet and working. Well, mine, fortunately, and good Lord willing, I had money because I had a big boy job. I was working, but my downfall was timing. I couldn't write with people at 10 or 11 o'clock in the day because I was working.
Right.
So I had to find the crew that would, hey man, y'all care if y'all write at 5:30 or 6.
Yeah.
And luckily, on top of that, I actually live with James, so I could write with him and at night because we lived together. But just luckily, I surrounded myself with a crew that was kind of willing to take a step for me, and you know, I'm sure glad they did. And you know, look at them now, and obviously they became, you know, a lot more successful quicker than I did, so their time became more valuable. But I just kind of hung in there and, you know, established a good relationship with them, and you know, just treat them, you know, like how I want to be treated. And sure enough, you know, here we are now, you know. So
that's great. It's crazy. And what you said earlier, I don't even know if we were recording when you said this, but you said everything happens for the everything. There's a reason why everything happens.
So, oh yeah.
So it's so like, it's crazy to think that, like, you know, you just took this leap of faith. You know, you like you said, you had a big boy job, you know, you're making good money, and you took this leap of faith and you said, I'm just going to go here and see what happens. Then, you know, it helps here, you know, that you became friends with some pretty heavy hitters, and then yeah. You became one yourself. So isn't that's how that works. So
yeah, the good Lord's blessed me, man. And it's kind of, it's wild to think, like, you want everything to be on your time. Like, I want it right now. I want this, da, da, da. But you know, it's, you know, he's always got a plan, and it's worked out well for me. And I hope to keep on trying to honor him in my daily life. So
there you go. That's what do they say? They say, good things happen to those who wait, right? That's
the same. Hey, yeah. Well, maybe I'll keep on waiting. We'll see what happens.
Hey, I think you're doing pretty damn good for yourself. So I don't know if I'd sell you short just yet. I think you're doing all right. But listen, you know, you're part of 50 Egg Music, and obviously there's some big names on that list. And, you know, some people that I know, obviously Ken Bryant, Rob Schneider, Ashley Kraft, Jacob Less, Tyler Braden, Chandler Master, Jonathan Singleton, Rita Isbell, Shane Miner, and Luke Combs. I don't think I missed anyone, did I?
There, but Eric Dillon wrote a bunch of Riley Green stuff, and Kip Moore, he's new, and then Wyatt McCubbin, who I think is going to be a star.
Wyatt is wow. Yeah.
Honky tonk done come to town, son.
Oh my God! You know, I watched I'm on social medias and stuff, and I'm on like TikTok, right? My TikTok consists of like basically people with their guitars singing songs, which I love. Because you know, I don't care about all the other crap. Like, screw the dancing, right? I like raw talent. And Wyatt, I listen to Wyatt. I think I stumbled across Wyatt singing some. He's singing a Keith Whitley song. What song is it? Was it I'm Over You? It could have been. I don't remember. But I sat back in my chair and I was like, wow, this guy's nuts. Absolutely nuts. And someone put him in my
ear. He's good. He can play lead and rhythm at the same time. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, I can barely play the guitar. He's sick, dude. And he's like the nicest person. He's like one of my favorite people. It's a new friendship for me. And he's probably like the coolest, nicest person in Nashville. Like, I consider him a great friend. Like, I'm glad I met him for sure.
Yeah, he's awesome. And I'm excited to see what he's got coming. And I'm glad you said that, because I didn't even think about that. I knew I missed someone. I couldn't remember who it was, but he's nuts. So let me ask you, with all those names on that list, you're with 50 Egg, and that's, you know, it's a big name, obviously. And I'm sure the support system there is fantastic. As a writer, to have all those people that no matter what, you could probably just go to one of them and say, let's write a song for you. How comfortable is that? Because I would say that, like, I read something earlier and it was like, what is the importance? I don't remember. It was on someone's Instagram story. I don't remember who it was. And if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, but it was like, what's the importance of writing a song by yourself, and what's the importance of co-writing? And then they said what the importance was. And I was thinking, I was saying, you know, writing a song by yourself is, I feel like, more of a way for you to get a single emotion out that you may be feeling that you don't want anyone else's input in. But when you co-write, you know, you're capable of pulling from other areas to make a conjoined project, I guess, at the end of the day. I don't even know if that's the right way to say it. But for you to look at that, you know, that repertoire in 50 Egg and say, I can go to any of these people basically and ask them if they want to write a song. That must be so awesome for you, because you know you got some good songwriters on there with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel like, you know, first of all, I'm very fortunate to be with 50 Egg. I mean, it's such a, you know, cool experience, and it's very, very, very family oriented over here. Tally and Jonathan and Joey and Luke have just kind of welcomed me with open arms, and they're just like, hey, this is home now, you know, just come on in and we'll rock and roll together. And it's been awesome. But yeah, you're right, man. It's like, it's comforting, because you know that they're that good. But you also, in a way, you're just like, well, doggone, I better bring my A game to this bad boy. You know, let me show if I belong type thing. So, you know, I always, especially if I'm writing, I mean, anybody over here, I mean, anybody in general, I mean, now you're with the elite. I mean, heck, you're writing with daggum Michael Delaney and Chris Dubois with other companies. And, you know, now you get the opportunity to do that through 58, because they opened that door. And now, like, it goes back to what you were talking about earlier, being competitive. I mean, you know, in a sense, you're competitive, but that day, I mean, today, take, you know, for today, for example, like, I'm writing with two writers. Today, they're on my team, so I'm going to get the best daggum song I can today and beat everybody else that's right, you know, and then tomorrow, restart. Whoever I'm writing with tomorrow, we're going to get the best song of the day. That's my mentality, and it's not always going to be the, you know, sometimes you don't finish. Sometimes you just don't, you know, and because you got to write 100 songs to get two good ones, you know. But if I have that mindset that I want to be the daggone best of the day in Nashville, Tennessee, then, you know, I like my chances, you know. So
that's it. I completely agree with you. I'm glad you said that, because I feel the same way. You know, people, this is not relatable in any, like, this is not comparable basically is what I'm trying to say here, is that, you know, people say you actually have competition when it comes to this podcasting thing. I'm like, yeah, like, well, you gotta also remember too, is like my friends, I consider myself a country music geek. All right. Listen, I know who writes songs. I know who puts out songs. I know names that you may never have even heard of. Right. And I love that I know that because I'm passionate about it. But my friends, you know, are not necessarily like that. So they'll always be like, you actually have people who are like competitors. I'm like, yeah, like you think I'm the first person to think of this? No, like there's so many people in this world. And would I say that there's a lot of them? Probably not in retrospect, but there's a bunch. And if they say, well, then how do you like go about it? I say, you know what? I just sit down every day and say, I'm the best at what I'm doing. Yeah. Even if I'm not, like, if I tell myself I'm the best and go ahead and give you my best foot forward, it's all you can ask for, right?
At the end of the day,
that's all you can really ask for.
It's a mindset. And I like to, man, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, you know, I'm not the best guitar player. I'm not the best singer. I'm not the crazy idea guy, you know, but you know, I'm going to have the best attitude in the room. I can tell you that, you know, and try to make it, because if I can help that guy that is talented, you know, and that guy that can play the guitar and put them together with a positive attitude, make them smile, then nine times out of 10, we're going to get a good one.
There you go.
Because, it's all about the good hang at that point, you know.
And who knows? I mean, you know, you've been cracking away at it for a few years and, you know, you write with some younger guys who may, this might be their first or second year in town trying to figure it out. Right. So if you can help them out in a certain way, I feel like that goes a long way with people too.
For sure. Absolutely. I have people help me out, so I'm always willing to help others, you know.
That's it.
For sure.
Perfect. I love it. So, you know, you have some fantastic original music out right now. And I'm just going to add in here, because I don't know why, but for some reason, I don't know why I do this, but I like songs that mention songs that like I either, you know, have been listening to for a long time or that are classics. Right. And you have like a song like Brooks and Dunn, right. You know, great song. You have so many Brooks. I love Brooks and Dunn. I think
Let me interrupt. I didn't write that song. So I can't claim that one.
I know. All right. That's fine. That's all right. That's all right.
But it is a super cool song. I got to shout out the Moffat Twins and the Summer Over Street on that one.
There you go.
Bob and Clint Moffat. They did a killer job. Quick story on that. So when I first kind of moved to town, I befriended them and, they kind of liked my redneck voice, as you can tell, you know, and they're like, man, we got a song that we love you to sing a demo on. Well, shoot, I sang that demo, I mean, years ago. Well, nothing ever happened of it. My buddy JD Griever was like, man, you got to put that song out if you're never going to do it. I was like, all right, sure, whatever. Put it out and got some cool, you know, got a cool little traction of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I put it out and they souped it up with the production and everything. But yeah, they did a killer job on that one. I wish I would have wrote it, but unfortunately not.
It is a good tune. But then you come back and you have Brooks and Dunn, September Saturday, Back in Business, Messed Up. Sorry, can't talk. Messed Up Makeup. So for you, right? So you know, you move to town, you start writing songs, you become a well-credited songwriter in retrospect and you know, doing what you're doing. To put out, and I don't think people necessarily always realize this. I'm not sure if this is the case for you, but not everyone moves to Nashville to be an artist. Some people, their first plan is to move to Nashville to write songs, and then it just so happens that, you know, that happens. And I'm not saying it's by accident, but they end up putting out original music. I mean, they may not put out, you know, they may not put out five studio albums, but they put out, you know, songs here and there. For you, was it always your goal to say like, eventually I'm going to put out music? And I mean, you're even making fun of yourself about singing, even though you have a great voice, but you know, poke fun at yourself all you want. Go ahead. I'll poke fun of myself too.
One of those poor mouthers, man, like one of those coaches, like, oh, y'all about to beat the brakes off of me and then turn around. One of those guys. No, I'm just kidding.
Burn him down the field.
Yeah.
Were you like, yeah, I'm just going to start pumping music out? Or was it a step for you? Because I know that there are people that are not necessarily confident in their singing and, you know, guitar playing, where they're like, yeah, I'm not really like that big of an artist, but, you know, I put music out every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of been on like just one song a year kind of track. The primary goal was to be a songwriter because I'd much rather be behind the scenes, going to the shows on side stage, having fun, drinking instead of work. I mean, I'd rather work during the week and then party on the weekends at the show while they do the work. You know, I wrote those songs, so let me enjoy the. You know, I'm one of those kind of guys. You know, but you know, I put those songs out. You know, as if it's if the artist thing. I'd like to put it if it happens organically. Yeah. So. Especially now that I'm getting, you know, I've got different demos getting pitched around town. You never know which A&R person, like, dang, I kind of, that voice is kind of intriguing. Who's this singing the demo? And then there's like, oh, it's Rob Pennington. And then you have stuff already kind of out there for them. Oh, I guess a quick Google or a quick Spotify or Apple Music search. I'm like, oh, okay. I see what this guy's kind of doing. You know, it's just another avenue for people to find you. And I've liked those songs that I've written, and it's kind of like, you know, what I've kind of lived through and stuff, you know. Yeah. Back in Business a little bit more fun, and Brooks Has Done is a lot more fun, but the other two are kind of like, this is what Rob Pennington does.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to speak myself in third person. That was very egotistical. I apologize. This is what I do. I'm sorry.
We could restart, do the whole episode in third person.
Well, Rob Pennington does this. No, I'm not that kind of guy. I apologize. Any listeners, I'm not that kind of guy.
There's no need to apologize. I think everyone kind of realizes that you're not an egotistical guy that speaks in third person at this point. Listen, I think we've established that. I think I established that within the first 5 minutes of talking to you. I'm all right. You know what's funny is Back in Business is the first song I ever listened to by you. I don't know how I found it. I think I was like, it's probably scrolling through Instagram or something. I was like, oh, this is a jam. And I was like, who's this guy? And then I went from there. But yeah, that's awesome. I think it's cool that you're true to the songwriting game, and that if anything else happens, it happens.
Yeah. Good Lord willing. That's how, I mean, if it works and works, don't.
I respect
it. I'll be content either way, bub.
Yeah. Right. Messed Up Makeup. That's your most recent tune that you put out. You put it out, I want to see, you, late 2020, right? So like,
I can't remember, but yeah, it was,
I think it was like September, but I could be wrong. Or was it not September?
Might have been November. Might have been
November. November makes sense.
I was about to say November.
November makes sense. And you wrote that with Ray Fulcher and Chris Rogers. Mm-hmm. And I just like the meaning of the song. That's it.
You're my kind of guy then, bub.
There we go. So it's kind of about just, you know, someone, you know, leaving you high and dry, right? Is that the best way for me to put it or no?
Well,
to an extent.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like you see this girl that who's been getting runned around, but she keeps on going back to the her old fling, and she just needs to get over the hump, and you know, come to, I guess would be the scene that come back to some, or at least to go to something better. At least you think, you never know.
Right. Is that something better? You, Rob, maybe
it could be, you know, I mean, it's funny when we wrote the song, I'm not going to go too much into his detail, but it was kind of for Ray. He had been kind of going through, I guess a little, I don't know if it was a little rough patch with girls or whatnot, but it was funny. So, and then I was like, man, I like this song. Let me sing. He's like, all right, bub. So it really wasn't really towards me. Yeah. I think that's the cool thing about, you know, songwriting, you know, sometimes you literally go in there and make up a story, or somebody's kind of got like a story, and then you throw your two cents, and
right.
Then, you know, especially like with me, Chris and Ray, Chris Rogers and Matt Chase is another guy. Y'all, the Sutherland duo, you need to get them on here too. They're good guys. They're good friends. But anyway, we're all from Georgia, and we all kind of like grew up you know, even though we all grew up in different towns, but we all grew up very, very similar.
Yeah.
So hit all three of their actions. It's easy for me to write with them because we grew up the same. Well, I guess essentially what I was trying to say, I turned that long little segment longer than it should have been because I can't talk.
No, I agree with you, because I think that, and this is something that, you know, we talk about every so often on here, is that it doesn't necessarily, that's the beauty of co-writing. It doesn't matter that the song might not be a puzzle piece to your life. It might not be, you know, the exact map of your life, but in one way or another, you relate to it. And that's why, you know, you write the song.
Yeah, for sure.
That's where the idea comes from. But when I listened to that song for the first time, everything through my head of, you know, all my stubborn friends that go back to that, you know, sorry for my French D-bag that goes back to that douchebag, right? And you're just like, why do you keep going back? It's like,
yeah,
he's clearly, you know, every other month, every few weeks, you're coming back here crying because he's not nice, and you get in a fight and he's whatever, and you still go back. And I listened to it, and the first time I listened to it, I was like, wow, this is like really true, not to me personally, but this is really true to like some experiences that I had, because I was, and maybe they're like PTSD experiences. You might be bringing back my PTSD, but you know, I'm like, oh gosh, remember when I had to deal with this? Remember when I had to deal with that and the headaches that it went through? And it's just real. It's real, and it's a true thing that happens. And I like that it's just not like this cookie cutter, like, you know, he fell in love with him or with her, and this person, you know, they lived happily ever after. And it's a true, just unloved song. I don't even know if that makes sense, but
yeah,
that's what I'm rolling with. But it's a great song.
You need to fall out of love with him and fall in love with me. Yeah, essentially, right? It was what. Long story short, 3 minutes shorter. You know.
There you go. But I think it's great. So you guys did a fantastic job on it. Congratulations on putting it out. And really good job. I think it is a great tune. It is. So let me ask you. I've been seeing, you know, just scrolling through your Instagram to prepare. All right. I noticed that you can grow a mean mustache. And you grew the beard in and didn't keep the mustache. There's a video on your Instagram where you have this thick, like Harley Davidson riding looking mustache. So probably handlebars to your, like to the side of your mouth. Why on earth would you not just rock that?
Well, it was it was funny, you know. To this day, I'll say this, I could be very wrong, but that mustache is the reason why I got a publishing deal. I'm pretty doggone sure. It's crazy.
Wait, why? Can you?
I'll tell you why. So, remember, I guess it was last March or April when everybody was, oh, Corona's only going to last, you know, two or three weeks. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I'm going to write the, like Chase Rice did it, like all these other people. I think Cole even did it. Oh, Corona stash, you know. I'm like, hell yeah. So I rocked it. You know, I'm still working the daggum construction gig. And sure enough, I think I went to the lake or something that weekend. And anyway, I posted a picture. Me and my buddy, we were in like hibachi, like Japanese. We were cooking hibachi at the lake. I had a mustache in this big old hibachi hat. Well, you know, long story short, I guess Luke Combs, Ray was on the road with him or something, but their show got canceled because of the Corona. And I don't know. I don't know all the details. I'm probably messing this story up, but this is the way out. This is how songwriting happens. You know, you kind of just, the way you see it. Yeah, exactly.
The way it happens to you.
You fabricate it a little bit, you know, but from what I was told, essentially, I guess they were eating spaghetti or eating dinner or whatever. And I guess Luke was scrolling through Instagram and was talking to Ray. I was like, dang, that darn Pennington, he's got a hell of a mustache, doesn't he? Or something. And Ray's like, yeah, he's growing it out or something. And I guess Luke was like, what's he been up to? Is he still writing songs or whatever? And Ray was like, yeah, he's still writing. And I think from the way I took it, Luke thought I was published somewhere else. And I asked Ray, like, where's he at? Da, 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 da. And Ray was like, he's not anywhere. He's like, what you mean? He's like, he's not publishing. He's still working the construction gig, writing songs in the afternoon. And I guess Luke was just like, well, let's change that. Let's get set up a meeting on Monday. And sure enough, I was on a daggum Zoom call with Jonathan and Tally, and Ray was a liaison because Jonathan works with him. And yeah. Then on Wednesday, Luke me, Luke, Tally, and Jonathan got on Zoom and he offered me a publishing deal. So it was pretty wild, man.
That's crazy.
All it's nuts. Author of a mustache, I think. You know, who knows if I would have never posted that picture, he never would have saw it. But if you want to see more mustaches, I think it's going to come back this summer. There's an Instagram, Birdie Bob. It's my golf. It's my alter ego, okay. Birdie Bob. Birdie Bob is my mustache guy. So, and he's from mid-Iowa, talks like this a little bit, you know.
You know, I love it because I can't. I you know, I have a friend who, one of my best friends growing up, and he's my guy, and he can grow a little bit of, not like that. You got like a Goose Gossage thing going on. Like he can't, he can't do that, but you know, he can grow a little bit of a mustache. And I always tell him to not do it because here's the thing is like, he doesn't have, you know, you got a nice flow going on there. He doesn't necessarily have the flow on the top. And he likes to shave his face and keep the mustache. He's got a girlfriend. She's great. You know, they've been together a long time. So I'm sure that he's not worried about the lady department. If she'll tell him she likes it either way. But I look at him and I say, bro, that just doesn't look good. But you got a full upper lip action. I'm all for it. You gotta keep it going.
I've got a big scar from where I busted my lip, so I've got to cover it up.
That's why.
So it's a good reason to have a mustache, but the beard just kind of came with it. So.
The beard came in. Hey, if the excuse is the scar, let it grow, and then eventually you can twist it like a Holly Fingers thing.
For sure,
you'll be like the Hooba WB Mason, man.
Be like I'm in Dagum Tombstone, you know. With Doc Holliday.
you should bleach it. You should like
no, I don't know if I can do that. I already look kind of goofy as it is, you know.
I love it. That's incredible. I think if anyone can grow if anyone can grow a stash like that, let it rock. And apparently it's a magic stash. It is a magic stash
because absolutely, you know, I might need something, you know, maybe if I put a mustache this summer, you know, might get a number one or something. Who knows? You know, who knows what could happen with a magic stash?
No wonder you said it's coming back this summer. Of course.
You know, I'm just messing.
You wanted to do the whole year thing. You know, you get the publishing deal, you know, and then that the next year, then you get the number one. That's what you wanted. You're not slick, Rob. I got you. I'm on to your games at this point.
I don't know, man. I was kindly asked to not bring the stash back by a couple of lady friends in Nashville. We'll see.
Are they prospect lady friends? Because then you should just say screw it, just bring it back anyway. Who cares if they're not?
Well, we'll see. Well, we'll just leave it at that. They said not to bring it back.
Hey, if it's any consolation, I say bring it back. But my opinion, it doesn't matter to me. All right, listen, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. I'm not gonna stress you out about the stash any longer. Don't worry. Rob, man, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it. I knew that this was going to be a fun one. You seem like a good dude, and you're definitely a good dude. And I'm glad I got to sit down and talk to you because I'm a big fan of your music. I'm a big fan of your writing. And I'm just glad to see and excited to see where you go with all this.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much, Kyle, for having me. It was a blast. It's a way to kick off a week on a Monday morning. I don't know if you want me to tell your listeners when we're recording this. But
they know we record on Mondays. They know I got a day job. I can't sit here and do it, you know, anytime during the day. They know that. It's all right.
I heard that. Well, I just threw you under the bus. So, man, it was a blast. Good. We'll have to do it again for sure.
Of course. Of course. I'm always down for reoccurring people. Rob, what's up next for you? Do you have anything in the works?
Just writing daily, man. And we'll see if we put it. I don't think we're going to do any songs this year, man. It's it's a good problem to have, but I've just been so busy just writing and, you know, it's kind of going through, I guess, a courtship stage with different writers in town that I've never met before. Like I've met more people in the past 8 months than I have in 6 years, if that tells you anything. So it's just,
it's a great
writing and, you know, and really just establishing relationships. Cause I'm getting right with like new artists and, you know, establish some rapport with them. And if lucky enough to get a cut, then rock and roll with that, you know.
There you go. Hey, it's great. That's a great problem to have. I agree with you on that one. And I'm just excited to see, you know, where you take this whole thing. And and what you have coming up. And I'm excited to be around for the journey. So Rob, thank you. I appreciate it. Everybody, this is another episode of Remember Country Music Podcast, RCM Podcast. You can go listen to Rob's music anywhere you listen to music, and go stream Messed Up Makeup. It's out now, and that's his newest single. And yeah, this is another episode of Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember, rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at RCM_podcast. As always, I'm Kyle. That's Rob. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.